It is the 3rd of February, and I apologize profusely for missing class, but I don't miss class lightly, folks. I don't just say, oh, okay, I'm too well to call in well. I'm entirely too well to go to work today. Instead, I go to work even if I'm not feeling well. But yes, last week was extenuating circumstances. So we are a bit behind. And so we'll discuss, we'll finish up chapter 1, week 3. We by virtue of the fact that they gave us a half a week the first week, we're a bit behind anyway. So my apologies. And you did study, right, on chapter 1, the investment overviews. Well, this is a little, pass these out. We have some extras over there. Pass them that way, please. This is a little matching game I want you to do. And we'll discuss it after you've gone through it. Don't spend a lot of time. Read through the definitions and match the investment overview type with the description. Because it's very important that you're able to describe to individuals who know nothing about investing these different asset classes, the major asset classes of investments. So take about 2 minutes. Don't spend a whole lot of time doing it. Not being graded, so. Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. Gee, I moved it away from you. That was brilliant. How's that?
That'll work.
That'll work better? Okay, more better. Don't spend a whole lot of time. Just read through it. Pick the one you want because you're not being graded on it. Okay, another minute, folks. Need some good music. Well, you haven't, right? Just guess. Guess the best you can. But you want to go through those presentations. They're all on the website. Okay, finishing it up? Okay, let's get started. Letter A, what are investments with very little risk and correspondingly very little return? Often used as a place to park your money or for emergency funds, 3 to 6 to 9 months of income. Short-term investments. Low risk, low return. Right. What are speculative securities that derive their value from an underlying security or asset? These examples include options contracts and futures contracts.
Derivatives.
What are securities that represent ownership in a corporation? Stocks. Investors receive, optionally, dividends and capital gains or capital losses. What are fixed income securities that represent loans to corporations, municipalities, state and local governments and agencies, the federal government? Yes, bonds. You receive interest and a promise to repay the principal. What are securities designed to offer the stability of fixed income investments with the opportunity for capital growth of equity investments. Examples include preferred stocks, convertible bonds,
hybrids.
Best of both worlds, worst of both worlds. The advantages of both, the disadvantages of both. And lastly, what are investment companies that pool their investors' money and invest in a diversified portfolio of securities? Investors get diversification in professional money management.
Mutual funds.
Okay, now here, yes, George?
I just had a question. Like, I have a broker's account, but I've never seen hybrid securities.
Hybrid, that's a preferred stock, convertible bonds, convertible preferreds. They're not that big a deal. You know, there's not that many of them. We'll discuss those after we get through bonds, stocks and bonds. Turns out for most of us, individual retail investors, they're not that interesting. And they're a small group of the universe of investments. Now, here's the goal. I want you to be able to explain to somebody who knows nothing about investing in two or three sentences, maybe one sentence, but usually you need two or three, these asset classes. So on the exam, what I'm going to have you do is, after you've taken the multiple choice, true, false, and then the essay, you're going to bring it up, and then I'm going to give you basically these definitions, and I want you to write these terms, and I want you to write the definitions. Now, if you memorize my definitions, that's fine. If you memorize the ones I gave you, that's great. But you don't have to. You can tell it in your own words. The important thing is that you don't go overboard. Don't write four paragraphs about stocks. We're going to learn a whole lot more about stocks, folks. Don't worry. But the idea is to be able to, if someone says, well, what are stocks? What? I don't understand. You say they represent ownership. When you're a stock investor, you own part of a company. And hopefully you get dividends in the form of cash payments and capital gains. The company expands. That's all you have to say. Now, that's the 40,000-foot version looking down upon the landscape, because stocks are very, very complicated and there's a whole lot to them. But right now, that's all we want to understand, and we want you to be able to explain to somebody else. You understand? So memorize four definitions. One for common stocks, bonds, short-term investments, and mutual funds. The hybrid and derivatives will be bonus. So if you can come up with a good description of those on the exam, great. You get an extra point. But if you don't, no big deal. Because as we said, as George said, I never even seen these. They're not that important, and derivatives are darn scary. So make sense? Good? Okay, great. Now, we need a good joke. Anybody got a good joke? No? Did I tell you about the alligator who walked into the bar?
Yeah.
How about the bear? No, see, I didn't tell you about the bear. So let me tell you, this bear walks into a bar. Have you heard this one before? And puts his big, long paws up on the bar, looks the bartender right in the eye and says, I'd like a beer. And the bartender says, do you remember? Why the long pause? Pause. Why the long? They said, beer. I'm like, they told you they'd get worse. Okay. So now what we're going to do is we're going to finish up chapter one. It's week number three. Come on, Piano, what's going on? Well, do you have your brief history of risk versus return, the chapter one handout? I don't know if I gave you one yet, Ian. I gave you the syllabus, right? Okay, because we're going to need the back of it today. We're going to need the back of it. Oh, you got it already, yeah. But not yet. We're going to need the back of it today. Okay. So, short-term investments are a place to park your money, folks. They're really not very exciting. They will, at some time in life, pass these as people are going by, Give one to her. She's got them. They will at some time in life actually pay us more than they're paying us now. In some cases, some companies are just saying, look, we're not making any money off of these things, so neither are you. Other companies are giving you 0.01%. And it's really a gift because they're not making any money off of these things, the mutual funds, the money market mutual funds. The banks are licking their chops because they're getting the money for free from the Federal Reserve Board. And they're turning around, lending it out at 18% and giving you 0.01%. So to review, short-term investments are often called cash. It's a euphemism because it's not really cash. It's not really invested in money under somebody's mattress. They are investments. Short-term vehicles, short-term instruments, normally up to a year, usually guaranteed or pretty darn close. They are very liquid. Many of them will let you write a check, or you'll just be able to just say, give me my money today, we'll do it. Very low risk of losing principal, hence, what kind of reward are we going to get? Very low. Over the long term, it's been 2 to 5%. But currently close to zero, and as I said, some are even paying zero. They can't, negative. That's not true. That is not true. They can't. You can't have a negative interest rate. You can wind up paying them. And I should have grabbed that example and put it on the website. A place to park your money, also used for emergency fund. So there are two ways that we are paid interest. The one that most people are used to is the stated rate of interest. The stated rate of interest. And what does that mean? That is a savings account. And you go to the bank and they say, we'll pay you 1%. So you put in $100 and then the next year you have $101. Make sense? But once you move into the securities world with these, and most of you won't because of the denominations, mostly they are paid on the discount basis. This is the method of earning interest on a security by purchasing it at a price below its redemption value. So here is a $5,000 note. But you don't pay $5,000 for it. You might only pay $4,800. And then what happens, as it matures, the interest will accrue. So in 9 months, in this example, this note will be worth $5,000. So you see how you're being paid? You are buying it at a discount. And that's the term we use, the discount basis. Now, some of you may have received, when you were born, some savings bonds. Maybe they're sitting in a drawer somewhere. What you want to do is pull those suckers out and cash them in now. Because when you're in college, if you use those things for... Anna, there's plenty of space over here. Actually, there's one right there also. If you use these for tuition, qualified higher education, then you don't pay any taxes on them. So they're... Your aunt, your uncle, your grandparents might have give them to you when you were a kid, and you don't even your parents. Talk to your parents. They might go, oh, yeah, where are those things? And what they did is they bought them at $50, and now they're worth $100. Or they bought them at $40, and they're worth $100. What are the risks? Well, we said that there are no risks. That's not true. Every investment has risks. Now, is there a risk of default? Is there a risk of the investment going belly up? No, none, or pretty darn close. So everyone should say no. Is there a risk of default?
No.
But what are the other risks? By putting your money into short-term vehicles for the long term, you are risking losing purchasing power. If inflation's running at 3% and these things are paying us 0.2%, your money is literally shrinking. Now, it doesn't look like it. it's $100 was $100 and now it's $100.05 or whatever the next year. But it doesn't buy the same thing it bought the year before. That's called purchasing power loss. And the lost opportunity cost. Unless your time horizon is very short, there are several other investment alternatives, almost all of which will give you a better rate of return. So there's that term opportunity cost that some of you don't really like, but it means what could we do be doing better by investing somewhere else? Is it making sense? Am I going a little too fast? If you are, just scream and holler at me. Repeat after me. There is no such thing as a risk-free investment. Every investment has risks. Some just have a risk of losing money. Some have a risk of losing purchasing power, opportunity cost. Now, let's take a look at some of the different examples. The one that you may have heard of the most is savings accounts. When you go to a bank, they used to be called passbook savings accounts. And somebody just a couple semesters ago told me, oh, yeah, I got one that looks like a passport. And you bring it in and they stamp it. But anybody have these anymore? Nobody I know has one. Yeah, no. Share accounts at a credit union. We call it, you go into the credit union, they'll call it the savings account. But legally, it is a different animal. It is called a share account. And then interest-bearing checking accounts. Nobody calls them now accounts. That's their legal term. But you can call them that, and they'll think, what are you talking about? And then money market deposit accounts. These are the same thing. We'll talk about money market mutual funds. They're just offered by the banks. Deposit accounts are offered by banks and credit unions. They are often called demand accounts since the funds are available upon demand. They provide the highest level of liquidity and are guaranteed up to $250,000 by the federal government. So is your money safe in the bank, in the credit union? Say yes. Just say yes. If someone says, is my money, I don't trust those bankers, is my money safe? You say yes. I know people don't believe it. They don't trust the banks, especially if they're from Mexico. Mexico, they had good reason because the banks screwed them over. And that's the job of the bank. Banks screw people over, but they really screwed them over in Mexico. But yeah, you're not. Now, if you have more than $250,000, some people who are very worried, what they do is they just open up another account at a different bank. It's not per individual, it's per bank. So you can move from one bank to another and get that same guarantee. The savings bonds that we discussed. When you're a newborn, these are pretty boring, folks, but people love them. You can be given these securities. They don't pay interest until you redeem them. They're bought at a discount. They are free from state and local income taxes because this is true. We'll discuss this in more detail. Feds can't tax the states. States can't tax the feds. And if you use them for higher education, right now you're in college, then they're free from federal income taxes. So they're, you know, popular gift for newborns. Whatever. And then Series HH, those are the Series EE, they're more popular. The HH and the I are becoming, the HH, I think they discontinued them? Yeah, they're phasing the HH out. But the HH are more like a savings account. You buy them at face value and they pay you interest. But the feds are getting rid of those. The I are becoming more popular because they're inflation indexed. And after the Great Recession, when the Federal Reserve started printing money like crazy, you don't hear as much anymore. There's people who still believe it. They think you should buy gold because there's going to be hyperinflation. And the exact opposite has been true. We've had deflation. Wages have fallen. Housing prices are starting to come back. But these things are guaranteed to outpace inflation, but not by much. In fact, they're paying very little right now. And again, if you use them for higher education, you will have no taxes. And no state and local taxes, never, and no taxes at the federal government level. Okay, so do I want to... All right, now let's continue. Treasury, yeah, let's do it after treasury. The next one, now here is something that you can really invest in, folks. They're not paying anything right now, but treasury bills. And treasury bills are often considered the benchmark. What was that? Benchmark for the risk-free rate of return. The risk-free rate of return. When people say, well, what is the risk-free rate of return? They look at the three-month treasury bill. So what you do is you buy these at a discount, less than what they mature at, and they usually are $1,000 increments, and then they move up to $1,000 over 1 month, 3 months, 6 months. They're free from state and local. There's plenty of spaces over here, Vicki. They're free from state and local income taxes. And the cool thing about these is the Treasury has done a really good job of creating a website, treasurydirect.gov. And that's part of your assignment. So let's pass these out right now. You're going to go online. See, you'd rather do that than go to the library, right? You guys don't like to go to the library. You'd rather go online. And we yell at the government when they do stupid things, which is often. But when they do cool things, we should give them kudos. This is why I am certain that there was some sabotage in healthcare.gov. What was it? Healthcare.gov? The Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. Remember a couple years ago when it was crashing like crazy? What's it called? Cover California is California's one. And that one didn't experience as big a problem as the Fed. I'm sure there was some kind of sabotage because Treasury Direct is cool. And there are people all over the world, folks. The cool thing about Treasury Direct is that you get the same... Okay, we've got some extras back here. You get the same price. I'll pass this back. Pass those back. You get the same price as the big boys and girls on Wall Street. Normally, you, as an individual investor, don't get a very good price when you buy and sell things. Oh, well, that's the way life is, right? If you walk up to Walmart and say, I want to buy a gallon of milk, they'll charge you a retail price. But if you say, I want to buy, 12 cartons of milk, they're going to give you a much better price. And if you say you want to buy 5 truckloads or railroad cars full of it, you're going to get a best price. But at treasurydirect.gov, you get the same price as the people with millions of dollars to invest. So on the one side is the assignment for treasurydirect.gov. The information is not the key. You see the one side? Treasury Direct, do you have a empty? Oh, my goodness. Some people are empty? And some people are not. Oh, my goodness. So the copy machine certainly did a job on me, didn't it? All right, so here's one that's not empty. Here's one that is empty. Here's one that is empty. Here's one that is empty. Oh, my goodness. I'll tell you, folks, this semester is definitely not... Are those two? This semester, I'll tell you, this is one for the books. All right. Well, let's put it up on the board then. Remember, everything's on the web. Did you notice everything's on the website? Here's the treasurydirect.gov assignment. Now, the information is not the goal, so to speak. What is the goal is the experience. I want you to experience what it's like for somebody who has, maybe 10,000 or whatever, or maybe just 1,000 because you buy them in $1,000 increments normally. then they want to put it in Treasury bills. So you're going to go on treasurydirect.gov and you're going to search around. So if you don't find it, everything's there, I checked. If you don't find everything, don't get all upset or anything. But the goal is the journey. The goal is the experience of actually checking it out and saying, hey, you know, maybe I do want to buy my Treasury bills right from here. Now, you can go to a broker and buy them, and the broker would be happy to take your money. I mean, to serve you and get you your Treasury bills. But this is a very cool website. It is so cool that Mexico copied it. I met the guy who was the project manager for the government of Mexico's CETES program. CETES, not CETES, the university. Let's look it up. So there it is right there. CETES Directo. Here's treasurydirect.gov assignment. And here it is. And by the way, the interest rates are better than they are at treasurydirect.gov. And so the other side is the short-term investments assignment. So what you're going to do on the other side, I think that's the one that is not blank for everybody, is you're going to find the current rates. So the current rates, and you don't have to use any individual one bank. You can use your own bank. Any bank around the country will do. And then also for the treasurydirect.gov, you're going to find the treasury bill rates for the 1 month, the 3 month, and the 6 month. Questions, thoughts, ideas? This should not take you too much time. And unfortunately, because this is the third week, it's due next week. I like to give students a whole lot of time, but you only have about a week, a little over. And as long as you keep working, I'm happy, and I'll go make some more copies. I apologize. Questions, thoughts, ideas? Pretty straightforward? Yeah, I think so. And the cool thing is, if you actually enjoy this, if you enjoy going on a website about finance and finding things and oh, this is interesting, that's a good sign for you as an individual investor, because that's what individual investors need to do. They need to do it's called due diligence. They need to do your research. CDs. Along with the savings accounts at banks are certificates of deposits. And these things for many years were very, very popular with retirees. Many retirees just figured, I'm retired. I'm not going to put my money in the stock market. I don't trust those crooks. And it is. It's volatile. And I don't understand bonds. I'm just going to go down to my local bank and a credit union and buy some CDs. The problem with these things now is that they are paying almost nothing. If you lock it up for 5 years, you might get 1.5-2%. That's part of your assignment, is to go look up what your CD rates are. And what are CDs? Well, they're just fancy savings accounts. But what's the key? You're locking your money up. You're saying to the bank, I don't need this thing for 30 days or 6 months or 2 years. And if you do that, the bank says, cool, we'll give you a higher interest rate than a regular savings account. But what happens if you take it out early? They're going to slap your wrist. They're going to take some of your money. They might take all the interest. Right now, the penalties are nothing because the interest is nothing. They have that same $250,000 guarantee per investor. And you can actually buy brokered CDs. These usually pay higher interest rates. In fact, sometimes it's a little too good to be true. Now, why do you think a bank would go to a broker and say, hey, brokers, would you sell our CDs? Look, we're paying 3%, 4%. Everybody else is paying 1%. Why do you think that's the case? They need the money. The bank is in trouble. The bank made some bad loans, and now if they don't increase their cushion of cash, the federal regulators are going to come in and clean them out. So you have to be careful. Now, are you going to lose your investment? What's the risk of a CD? Default risk? Everyone should say no, no. Are you going to lose your investment? No, but you might get a friendly letter from the FDIC saying your bank is now in receivership and we're working it out. Don't worry, we'll send you your money, but the bank's gone belly up. Make sense? Okay, you're not going to lose your money, but you're taking on higher risk. Now, what happens after the 6 months is over? What does the bank do? What does the credit union do? Do they call you up and say, hey, here's your money, come get it? What do? They roll it over. If you don't tell them to, you know, put the money in my checking account or write me a check, they're going to roll it over, and then you're stuck for another 6 months or 2 years. And they give you 1 hour. It's on Tuesday afternoon between 2 o'clock and 3. No. They give you 2 weeks. You get two week time frame that you can roll it, that you can say, you know, put it in my checking account. Or you can, when you set it up, you can say, look, after the 6 months is over, just automatically put it in my checking account. So just be careful. CDs will roll over automatically, and then you're stuck. Banks and credit unions know that people get a little upset. So if you don't roll, if you don't contact them and say, I didn't mean to roll it over, you know, say, all right, we'll undo it. But normally, no, they want to hit you with that penalty. Some banks and credit unions have, I didn't put this down there, they have what they call the bump. They have I like that name. It's a bump. If interest rates spike up, now you're stuck, right? You set it in there at 1%. Now interest rates have gone to 2%. They'll give you one time that allows you to bump it up to the current interest rate. And if anybody gets into the educational community where you're not paid during the summer, most credit unions have what they call their summer CD savings plans, where people will, employees of college districts or school districts, we only get paid once a month, folks. And if you teach, you don't teach in the summer, you don't get paid at all in the summer. So what they'll do is they'll take a little bit of money out of your checking account or your savings account every month and put it into what's called the summer CD. And they normally give you a better interest rate, but now they're giving you nothing. And in summer, that's what the teachers will live off of. Have you heard of those? No, some they're popular with the Mission Federal Credit Union, San Diego County Teachers Credit Union. Okay, now the last two. Commercial paper, not the last two, but these two are normally linked with one another. And bankers' acceptance notes. Commercial paper is an IOU issued by normally a very high creditworthy company. They're promissory notes, and they are in 90 days, you know, 3 months, 6 months, 180 days, 270 days. Now, why do they keep them under a year? Well, by keeping a security, such as commercial paper, under a year, the Securities Exchange Commission says you don't have to register it. And the registration process is a lengthy process. It's expensive. So they can just say, look, we're JCPenney's or we're HP, and we need $90 million for the next 6 months. Here are these commercial paper securities. They are sold at a discount, and they accrue their way up to the face value. What's the kicker? The denominations are $100,000. So do you and I go out and buy commercial paper? No, we normally don't do that. And if you look on the short-term assignment sheet, at the bottom I have a bonus, commercial paper, banker's acceptance notes. Now, why? Because it's not easy. You go online, you can find them, but there's not that many out there. The reason is because if you need this stuff, you either are a part of a large organization or you have a personal broker. You walk into a broker's office and say, well, you know, I'm looking for a quote on commercial paper, and their eyes will light up because they figure you got millions of dollars I'll have a seed. Here's a cup of coffee. Oh, what you got? We'll get to. And then when you show them the, it's an assignment from a community college introduction to investments class. Like, get out of here, you know, because only very wealthy people who mostly buys these things, mutual fund, money market mutual funds, pension funds, and the like. So we don't normally do these. They're usually purchased by institutional investors. And the same thing is true for bankers' acceptance notes. Bankers' acceptance notes are commercial paper for smaller companies. If you're a company that needs some cash, normally to do some kind of transaction, you're going to buy 40,000 engines from a big manufacturer. And you need the cash, and then you're going to turn them into, you're going to put them in your cars and sell them. But you need it for 90 days or 60 days. But you're not large enough to issue your own commercial paper. You'll go to your bank, and the bank will issue the banker's acceptance notes, Wells Fargo, Bank of Armenia, America. And then you sell those out on the open market at a discount, of course, because you got to pay back the face value. That's how the interest is paid. And then they can be bought and sold in the securities marketplace. Again, what's the minimum denomination? 100,000. Are you going to buy these things? No, we don't normally buy these things. So how do we have access to these markets? How we have access to them is through the money market mutual funds. And the money market mutual funds are usually never called money market mutual funds. What happens is people just call them money markets. These are mutual funds that pool their investors' capital and money together and use it to invest exclusively in short-term securities. Now, virtually all brokerage firms, not Dodge and Cox. You got to take a look at Dodge and Cox when we get to Chapter 4 because they're pretty darn strange. Awesome company, folks. But they added another fund. They've been around since 1931, and now they have six funds. Fidelity has 500. Figure them out. But every other mutual fund has a company has a money market mutual fund. Now, there's some confusion here. After money market mutual funds came out in the industry, the banks and the credit unions started creating their own money markets, but they're called money market deposit accounts. Because the bank and the credit union has issued those, are they guaranteed by the federal government? Yes. Are money market mutual funds guaranteed by the federal government? Well, it turns out, yes, they are. When the organic matter hits the ventilating device, what happens? Think about that for a second. What happens is some white knight comes running in on their horse. And what you want to do, if you're interested at all in this, is type into any search engine, breaking the buck. Because these things can lose money. But literally, what they lose is a penny. They go from a dollar down to 99 cents. And when that happens, the world jumps up and takes notice. The last time it happened was in 2008. Before then, you got to go back 25 years to find the last money market mutual fund that lost a penny. And in 2008, I don't know if you remember, it was what, 7-8 years ago, right? We're coming, but people are still shocked from the Great Recession and the market downturn. Two mutual funds broke the buck when Lehman Brothers was allowed to go under. And, you know, there's $3 trillion sitting in money market mutual funds, and you think people get spooked? I might lose money. I might lose a penny. So the Federal Reserve Board came running in on their white knight and said, don't worry, not the Treasury. Interesting, the Federal Reserve Bank. The Federal Reserve Bank came in and said, we'll guarantee your money market mutual funds up to $250,000, and that allayed the fears. And normally what happens, if they really do lose money, what the company will do is they'll go to the regulators and they'll say, you know what, can we take money out of our pocket and put it into the pocket of our investors so that our money market mutual fund doesn't lose money? Normally that is never allowed. One of the first things, when you become a broker, one of the first things they're going to yell at you is never intermingle your money with your client's money. It is totally verboten. That means not allowed, you know. And in this case, the federal regulators go, oh, okay. And if they don't have the cash, the competitors will do it for them. We'll see. Because you understand? What is this business based on? Trust. And if people can't trust their money market mutual funds to be virtually risk-free, then there's going to be a run. And I don't know if you remember. Do you remember WaMu, Washington Mutual? And Wachovia? Yeah, right. That's exactly what happened to them. There was a run. Even though there was no chance that people were going to lose their money, people were going into Wachovia and Washington Mutual and saying, can I take my $77,000 out today? And that was the death of those two banks. If they did that to the mutual money market mutual funds, it would be very, very ugly. And that's why the Federal Reserve Bank came in and said, we'll take care of it, we'll backstop it. They did it for 6 months, and then they did it for another 6 months, and then by that time they quietly let it go. Virtually all offer check writing privileges. So these are very popular with most savvy investors. So which short-term investment is for you? How you doing? Payano, not bad. Commercial paper and bankers' acceptance notes are usually only suitable for institutional investors because they got the millions of dollars to invest. Savings bonds make cute gifts for newborns. Many investors purchase treasury bills directly from the treasury, and that's your assignment, is to take a look at that. CDs, I guess, are okay if you're sure you're not going to need the money, but if you need the money before the time is up, they penalize you. I think, in my case, in my humble opinion, money market mutual funds, money market deposit accounts are the preferred choice, especially since they are so convenient and everybody offers them. But many people still put their life savings into a savings account. I cannot tell you, I mean, it's not that many, but I can't tell you, several people come and tell me they have $180,000 or $500,000. $500,000 in a savings account.
Especially when you're only guaranteed $250,000.
Right. Yeah, but even if the bank goes under, you're going to get the. I mean, you're guaranteed $250,000, but the other banks, if one bank goes under, the other banks don't want anybody to think that banks are not safe. So they'll pony up the amount. The regulators swoop in, but you're right. What they should do is move it between two different banks, and then they'll be guaranteed. But even then, the banks don't want anybody to think that this stuff is not safe. Questions, thoughts, ideas? Kind of boring, isn't it? Where do you put your money when you need it in the next 3 months? Short-term investments. TreasuryDirect.gov. Oh, what? The presentation?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Presentation. Stay after class. I'll show you how to download it. I'll show you. If you don't have PowerPoint, then I'll show you. Okay. There's a PowerPoint reader that Microsoft makes available. You can use OpenOffice. Pull it into OpenOffice for free. Okay. So now the emergency fund debate. This is actually from Business 121. I'm not a big fan of the emergency fund for most people. I'm not saying you should have, you know, $40 in your checking account, and that's it. But you'll hear the financial experts on the news, Susie Orman. You ever watch Susie Orman? She'll tell you have to have 6 months of income in a savings account or a CD or a money market. That's true for some people who get laid off often, or are salespersons or self-employed, oh, yeah, they need a huge cushion. But for most of us working grunts who have a pretty decent job, and if we were to get laid off, we'd find another job fairly quickly. I don't think it's the case. But it's up to you. But just know that there's that recommendation out there. So, got your ABCDs? Oh, we're not. I apologize. My wife says I have a new husband. She's used to me being so, you know, not mellow. So am I talking funny? No? Okay. Because this is taking longer than usual. Okay, so let's go through this very quickly. We'll give you some. I left them in my office. Okay. What's a mutual fund that pools the capital of a large number of investors and uses it to invest exclusively in short-term securities? Commercial paper, money market mutual funds, passbook savings accounts or CDs? A, B, C, D? Come on, raise them up. B, right. The mutual fund usually disappears and all you hear is money markets. And they also have money market accounts at banks and credit unions. What are savings investments in which funds must remain on deposit for a specified period and there's a penalty for early withdrawal?
CDs,
right, but they'll pay you a higher interest than a savings account. If interest rates are going down, you can lock in that rate, but you better hope you don't need the money until the CD matures, in which case you're going to get penalized. What are short-term unsecured promissory notes issued by corporations with very high credit standing, normally sold in $100,000 deposits? Right, commercial paper and their cousins, bankers' acceptance notes, are normally only purchased by institutional investors such as money market mutual funds. And then a guaranteed demand account at a bank or credit union that normally pays little interest, but it will often be offered with a toaster or a waffle iron, which makes it all worthwhile. Right, passbook, savings accounts, or just savings accounts. Excellent. So it only took us almost 3 weeks to get through chapter one. My apologies. It's only supposed to take a week and a half. And we're done. Now what do we have to do? We only have 25 minutes. Pooh. I'm usually done by now. And what I would like somebody to do is get up to the board. Anybody want to write for me? Because I can't run back and forth. Don't everybody jump up at once. Ken. Okay. Good. Okay. Here, she's right there. And your name again is? Christina, there you go, Christina. Okay, so now, on the back of your handout for Chapter 1 is a sample portfolio assignment. Now, folks, it's not an assignment. It's a class project that we're going to be doing. If you want to do it on your own, by all means, go right ahead, because it's fun. And what we're going to do, I'll put it up here on the screen, so if you don't have it, you can just read together, is create a portfolio of 10 stocks, and we'll watch those stocks through the semester. What the book and the course outline, it's one of the things that's required. In fact, it's the student learning outcome. I don't know if you've ever heard of SLOs, San Luis Obispo. No, student learning outcomes are supposed to make learning so much better. And nobody uses them except for the people at Sacramento who tell us we have to use them. As much as I dislike the idea of this exercise, we're going to track a sample portfolio of stocks. I don't like the idea because what it does is it gets people thinking in the short term. What many people who teach this class, and they send me these things, Stock Track. If you bought the book new, you got a free subscription to Stock Track, but Yahoo and all these other websites give it to you for free, so who cares? They want to have a race. They want to have a competition. Who has the best portfolio over this 3-month semester? And I think that is the wrong way to think about investing. That's speculating. That's the trading. That's trying to make a quick buck fast. And that's what I'm trying to get you not to do. If you want to do it, go right ahead. It's your money. But trust me, it ain't easy, and you're probably going to lose. So what we're going to do is we're going to create a portfolio together, and we'll watch it together. So we'll pick 10 stocks. Now, what I need from you is just some ideas for stocks, and then Christina's going to write those on the board, and we'll see which ones we like. And what I'm going to do is I still use Yahoo, even though they're doing their best to destroy it. So here's Finance. Yahoo.finance.com. They really are doing their best to destroy Yahoo, and they're succeeding. Anybody still use Yahoo Mail? Yeah? How do you like it?
Works for you?
My wife just kept saying, this is horrible, this is horrible. I thought, I got rid of it a long time ago. And so finally she went to Gmail, and she's so much happier. Okay, so tell me a stock you're interested in, huh? Apple. What do you think? Apple! Now, I happen to know that Apple is AAPL, the symbol. But if you start typing in Apple, it'll say, oh, you mean AAPL for Apple? And what we find is that Apple is selling for $118.37, down 26 cents today. We're going to spend some time on this website learning how to use this one. You don't have to use this one. You could use Bloomberg, MarketWatch, Wall Street Journal's free version, CNBC. There are many different websites, but I still think Yahoo has the best individual stock research capabilities. Now, who wants Apple, huh? How many people want to buy Apple? Do you know that Apple is the world's largest company? You do know that, don't you? By what is called market capitalization. If you wanted to buy Apple, if you wanted to own the company, you'd have to come up with $689 billion. Yeah?
Yeah, I just heard that on the news, they just reported that it made the most money of any corporation
ever. They sold 74 million iPhone 6s in that three-month period between October. Yeah, normally it's oil companies. For the longest time, ExxonMobil was the largest company in the world. Yeah, I know. And so, you want to buy Apple? Yeah, you want to buy Apple? Ricardo's going, no. Why don't you want to buy Apple, Ricardo? Too expensive. Who else doesn't want to buy Apple? Why? Because it's too expensive? Okay, who wants to buy Apple? Why?
To make money.
To make money, yeah, because they make money, don't they? All right, so how many want Apple? Raise your hands high. How many don't want Apple? Some of you didn't vote. Come on. How many people want Apple? Raise your hands high. How many people don't want Apple? Looks like we got Apple. Put Apple down for $10,000. Okay, another company.
Caterpillar?
What do they make? Pancakes?
Machine.
No, they make heavy equipment, right. Caterpillar, member of the Dow, Peoria, Illinois. You ever hear the saying, will this fly in Peoria? Will this play in Peoria? At the heartland of America. And Caterpillar makes big tractors. And they're selling for $83.65. What do all these other numbers mean? We're going to learn them. We're going to learn as we go. But Caterpillar's had a little bit of a hard time recently because of the global slowdown. Caterpillar makes most of their money outside the United States. Why? Because we're already fairly industrialized, and so we don't need as many earth-moving and cranes and equipment. So they've been hit hard by the slowdown in Brazil and China and India. But hey, if you need a tractor, they're not too much in tractors, are they? I'm not too much. They're not too big on tractors, but they're more bulldozers, cranes, earth moving equipment. Who wants Caterpillar? What?
So
that's if you're a long term investor. You say, hey, when it picks back up again, Caterpillar will do fine. But in the short term, you might be buying at a high and they'll go down lower. It gives you more opportunity to buy. So who wants Caterpillar? Raise your hands high. Who doesn't want Caterpillar? Okay, let's try this again. Who wants Caterpillar? Raise your hands high. Who doesn't want Caterpillar? Looks like we bought it. Okay, $10,000 for Caterpillar. Next company.
Procter and Gamble.
Procter and Gamble? What do they make? What does Procter... Tide. Pampers.
Makeup.
Shaving, Gillette, they own Gillette. Yeah, Procter & Gamble has been a very good stock over many, many years. So they are aggressively going out into the global arena. And for many years, they were not that big outside the United States, but they're real Crest toothpaste. They're really pushing. And they're running into some headwinds because who's the big boy and girl outside the United States globally? You ever hear of Unilever? Unilever, yeah. So Unilever and Procter & Gamble are going to have to learn to play nice with one another because there's not a good... Well, but still, you know, you think about India, and some of you have children, and you have a hard time getting your children to brush your teeth, right? Do you? Yeah? Well, Crest and Colgate and those companies are trying to get a billion Indians to brush their teeth for the very first time. Because that's exactly it.
I believe it.
Yeah, oh yeah, oh no doubt. You know, you see, I love the, this is the global economy, folks. So, how many people want P&G, Procter & Gamble? How many people don't want P&G? I didn't put it up on the board. Let's put it up on the board. Let's see how it's doing. Pretty high PE. We'll discuss PE later on. Okay, so 10,000 for Procter & Gamble. Any other ideas? So we got, this is good, actually. This is very good. We got an industrial, we have a high tech, and we got a consumer staple. This is good. We're getting General Mills. What do they make? Cereal, Cheerios. Let's check General Mills. So that's a different type of consumer. I knew that. GIS. I knew that. General Mills. General Mills is Pete 22. Ooh, his stocks are high. General Mills is based in Minneapolis. They've been around for over 100 some odd years, and they make foodstuffs. So, do people got to eat Cheerios and Wheaties and whatever else they make? I'm not sure. They make a whole lot of products. This is good because it's similar to P&G, but they're just different. They're not competitors because General Mills is food products. Procter & Gamble has made food products in the past. They're the ones that came up with Pringles. And they're the ones who came out with Olestra, but I think they sold it. Have you ever heard of Olestra? It's that fat substitute that you buy in potato chips, and it says may cause abdominal cramping and loose stools and vitamin deficiency and bloating and anal leakage. I can't believe they put that on a package of potatoes. They took it off. Okay, how many people want General Mills? Not too exciting. How many people don't want General Mills? Yeah, not too exciting. Okay, so not say cross that puppy out. How are we doing? We got three.
How about Google?
Are Google and Apple competitors?
Yeah.
Yes and no. Yes, they are in that they both make an operating system for mobile devices, but Google gives it away free. And Apple doesn't let anybody else use it. So figure that one out. But where does Google make its money?
Advertising.
Search, advertising, exactly. That's where Google makes the vast majority of its money. Now they're playing with all these things. They hope to have driverless cars, and they hope to do Google Glass. You heard what they call people who wear Google Glass, don't you? Glass holes. Yeah, okay. but it's a high-tech company. It's been doing well. It's actually had a few little bad press a little bit. So every time, do you know how it works? When you type in something into Google, you type in, what do you type? Pepperoncinis or hockey sticks. Whatever. What happens? You get a lot of advertisements for hockey sticks. And then what happens is your computer, your browser remembers that, and then you go to other websites and you see these same ads for hockey sticks. You go, give me a break. I bought it 30 months ago. Leave me alone, will you? But that's how they make their money, because as soon as you click on that, bingo, Google makes money. So you want to buy Google? How many people want to buy Google? Let's go look it up. Goog. Oh, it's now five letter, because that's unusual. Google, and it's selling for $531. They've been down. If you go look at their 6 month, they're about 10-12% down from their peak. Yeah, so they hit 625, 600. Now they're about 531. So how many people want Google? Raise your hands high. How many people don't want Google? Why don't you want Google?
They all have iPhones.
Or they're afraid of Farcebook, right? Because Farcebook once Google's business. And how does Farcebook make money? I mean, Fleecebook. I'm sorry. Facebook.
Same thing,
yeah. Yeah, but you see, it's different. See, what Google does is Google waits for you to type in pepperoncinis or hockey sticks or horse shoes. But Facebook looks at you and your friends and tries to figure out that you want pepperoncinis before you know you want them. Do you understand? That's how they're throwing those ads up on the right-hand side, because they're saying, well, you know, maybe they're going to want to go skiing, so let's put, you know, skiing stuff on there. You see, that's how Facebook is trying to leapfrog over Google. And Google's worried. Google is worried. They got that G+. Anybody use it? Google Plus? No. No. They use Facebook. On my Facebook, the only reason I got a Facebook account is because I didn't want somebody to steal Wonder Professor and then create confusion. So you go to my Facebook account. It says, I do not use Facebook. Please contact me at wonderprofessor.com. Here's my email. And what, I got 39 friend requests. Mostly from people I don't know who the hell they are. And my first girlfriend put me on there too. So I called her up and I said, you know, I don't do Facebook. And she goes, really? She goes, I'm addicted to Farmville. So who wants Google? Who doesn't want Google? Come on, raise your hands high. Who wants Google? Who doesn't want Google? Okay, you mean it looks like we're going to buy it, but if we buy it, then we can't buy Facebook, or can we? Okay.
Yeah, you can buy both.
You can buy both? Okay, put Google. But I don't want to be too tech-heavy, folks. I don't want to be too tech-heavy. All right, so we got Google. How many we got? Four? What are we doing for time? Ugh, we're not doing very well. All right, next company. What about Walmart? World's largest retailer. And they have successfully moved into other countries. Other companies have not been so successful. Selling for $85, 96 cents. It's actually, you know, been holding up well. $277 billion worth of market capitalization. Can you tell me about Walmart? Huh? You like Walmart? It's convenient. Yeah? What? Not convenient. Yeah, well, I remember a student who had a boyfriend from Peru, and she was thinking about hiring a Peruvian woman to be the housekeeper because she had a child and she had a job and she's going to work. Because the boyfriend said, well, you could pay her $100 a month, feed her, and she'll love you. And obviously probably illegal, right? And she said, I don't want to exploit somebody. And he said to her, well, no, let her stay in Peru and die of dysentery. So, yeah, I thought that was funny. You guys didn't think it was funny, but Peru, that was 20 years ago. Peru is actually doing pretty well now. So how many people want Walmart, the world's largest retailer? Huh? How many people don't want Walmart? Why don't you want Walmart? Because you shop at Target? How many people don't want, why don't you want Walmart? What's wrong with Walmart? People said no. Why? Everything is bad. The product quality is bad. The experience is awful.
Can you shop at Walmart?
No.
You'd rather go somewhere else.
I went to Walmart once when my son, it was the only place in town that had the one game my son wanted, and I walked in and this guy goes, "Hi, how you doing?" And I went, "The hell is this? It's not that anymore. They don't have greeters anymore." What? No, this was a greeter. This was 20 years ago. What? No, I kind of just said, I'm doing just fine, thank you. And I walked. And then I heard or read that these people were there volunteering. They were volunteering and they were feeding them. And the IRS said, no, you can't do that. If you're feeding them, they're workers. You got to pay them. You have to give them a W-2 for food. All right. So how many people want Walmart? Raise your hands high. Okay. I got. How many people don't want Walmart? Okay. I got to count. Okay. Raise your hand high. Who wants them? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. How many people don't want Walmart? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Okay, we got Walmart. We got a retailer. This is good. We're getting some diversification. Next company. Yes. NASCAR. I don't think NASCAR, they're a public entity. No, they're not a public company. They're a private. Sony? You got to be out of your mind, yes. $5.
How about something like, coming up with an event like WWE? Does the price start going up like before?
Hell if I know. I think they still are, yeah. But let's look at Starbucks. Let's look at $5. I'm sorry, $4. $5. Starbucks. And we see it selling for $87.71, down a little bit today. Why would we want to buy Starbucks? They sell good coffee, and coffee is addicting, and people are addicted to it. Hell yeah. And remember, I don't know if you remember, this is about 2009 or so, 2000, maybe before the recession. They said we're going to have 40,000 Starbucks in the next 15 to 20 years. They already had about 12,000. And I want to know where the hell they're going to put them. Because they already have them on corners, right across from one another. We're going to put them on top of one another. And then within about a year or so, they pared back. They sold about 600 of them, closed 600. McDonald's. Wait a minute, we're doing Starbucks right now. No, I don't. 7-Eleven, you got to buy the Japanese company. You got to buy the Japanese company because the Japanese company bought the American company. Okay, so who wants Starbucks? That's a lot. Okay, you like addicts. You like people who are addicts. Okay, put down Starbucks. How many have we got now? 7? No, only 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. But we got rid of. Okay, so now we had one for. Somebody said Pfizer? That's a drug company, Pfizer. What do they make? Yeah, Lipitor. Have you heard of Lipitor? Half the world, once you get over 50 years old, is on Lipitor. It's a statin. Johnson & Johnson's a competitor. They also make Viagra, and there's lots of Viagra. We got great jokes. Did you hear that the cops are looking for some thieves who stole a shipment of Viagra? They think they're a gang of hardened criminals. Okay. So their competitors, Merck and Johnson & Johnson. Who wants Pfizer? Anybody want Pfizer? You want drugs? They make a lot of money. Oh, yeah. Pfizer makes a lot of money. Let's put them down. PFE, right? Pfizer. Make a lot of money. $199 billion of market capitalization. Who wants Pfizer? Okay, let's put Pfizer down there. So now we got a drug company. This is good. I know it's hard to spell. Pfizer.
What
does
the PE mean?
Yeah, later. We'll discuss PE, price to earnings ratio. That's the most widely watched statistic of a stock. We'll discuss that in detail. That's a measure of how optimistic or not investors are about the company. Okay, what next? I heard Philip Morris.
Tesla.
Oh, jeez. Tesla, yeah. Philip Morris. Now, you got to be careful. There's two Philip Morrises. There's Altria that sells Virginia Dims and Marlboros here in the United States. And then there's Philip Morris International that sells them outside the United States, even though it's a United States company. So do you think smoking in the United States is getting bigger or smaller?
Smaller.
It's actually had a little bit of an uptick, especially with younger folks. But, yes, it's shrinking. Outside the United States? So what do you want? Philip Morris International, which is just PM. PM. Philip Morris International. It's a long story. But
Is that why, like, can you compare them?
Can you compare? Yeah, we can compare them. And we'll find that people are more excited about Philip Morris International because of the growth outside the United States. You go to China and India and Indonesia and Mexico, right? And they think everybody in the United States has a 10-gallon hat, rides a horse, and smokes Marlboro, and drinks Jack Daniels after they go to the McDonald's. That's what they think, you know. And so Philip Morris International is a very profitable company, and they pay a very rich dividend, 5%. Very cool. We like dividends. Yes?
So do you think McDonald's is going to lose a lot of stock after they take the Big Mac out of the menu?
No. Are McDonald's, they're not going to take the Big Mac out of the menu.
Yes, they are.
Why? Is he serious?
They have to bring it back as a Big Mac classic.
It's got to be a publicity stunt. No. I don't believe it. Well, you know, I don't care. I really don't care. If every McDonald's just disappeared, I'd have fewer places to go to the bathroom. But that's about all. I mean, they are responsible. I have some Republican friends, if you can believe it. And I don't know how we got on the topic of terrorism. I said, well, you know, terrorists is always, they're always going to be around, especially with television. They're not stupid. They know they can get people to watch them behead other people. So, but McDonald's has killed more people than terrorists from their food. And he goes, well, that's a choice. That's a personal choice. And I said, so that makes a difference. The person's still dead, you know, whatever. So what do we got? Who are we talking about anyway? Put it down. We're buying Philip Morris International. Okay, so how we got? We're out of time. Anybody else? A couple others? Yes.
No.
Sorry.
I have a question. Every how often do they pay like that dividend?
It's paid quarterly. In the United States, outside the United States, usually every 6 months or once a year. But any company that's based in a country that had something to do with the United Kingdom, Canada, Hong Kong, Australia, South Africa, United States, they typically pay quarterly. Other countries, 6 months, a year. Okay, who had somebody else?
What about the First Solar?
First Solar. Now, there's an interesting tech company. First Solar is a company that makes solar, and they've actually were doing really well until the price of oil dropped in half. And now all of a sudden, solar wasn't as competitive anymore. But solar was getting to the point that price of solar was going down, the price of oil was going up, to the point where solar was becoming on par with fossil fuels. So the stock did really well. Lately, it's been having a bit of a tough time. But First Solar is a very good company. And as Ricardo noted, now might see, it was up to 70-some. Now it's down to 45. Might be a good time to buy First Solar. Who wants to buy First Solar? Okay, green. We got green folks here. How many do we got now? 9? But we killed off one, right? So. We have 9? We only need one more. Okay, somebody said Tesla. We already got pretty high tech. But who said 3M? What does 3M make? Exactly. They make scotch tape and post-it notes. And they make supposedly 100,000 or maybe it's 10,000 different products. Most all of them are flat. They make stuff that they wrap around houses, reflective tape. Minnesota Mining and Materials, 3M. And the symbol is 3M. And PE is not too high. It's a little high. But it pays 2.5%. Not bad. So who wants 3M? Who wants scotch tape? We're done. Okay, so let me write those down. Don't erase them. And, folks, this is what we're going to do. Every class will come up and take a look at how our stocks are doing. I will show you how to do it. It's not hard. I like Yahoo, but until they destroy it completely, and then I'll probably find something else. On Thursday, we start mutual funds. Again, I apologize for being a little logy, a little slow today, but I'm getting better. And study hard, bring honor and glory to Southwestern Community College. People who came in late, come on up. And Ian, did I do I need to give you anything else? I don't think so.
I got that.
Okay.